This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, Pakistan's Supreme Court validated the re-election of President Pervez Musharraf. There's a political power vacuum in Lebanon after the president there leaves office without designating a successor, but not before ordering the army to take over security. And researchers devise a new way to produce stem cells without using human embryos. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And Dan, large part of what we're going to talk about this week that concerns the world is in the same large region, if not exactly the same block, an area of the Middle East, including Pakistan, Lebanon, Israel, and, of course, the Palestinian
territories. It's kind of like an arc of instability that stretches from Afghanistan all the way to the Mediterranean and most of the countries in between. It is partly the heritage that was left by colonial powers. It is partly ancient rivalries and hatreds coming up again. But it is the source of a great deal of the world's trouble.
Well, let's take some of these situations one at a time, beginning with Pakistan, still under a three-week-old state of emergency. And this week, the Pakistani Supreme Court, rather different in composition than it was a few weeks ago,
Right. Validated
the re-election of President Musharraf.
Yes, different in composition because it was appointed by President Musharraf, yes. And the United States keeps putting pressure on him to lift the state of emergency, which he has so far refused to do. The opposition threatens to boycott the election that he's called for next January. That is one of the more unstable situations.
And Lebanon, the situation there, of course, is breaking even as we speak. President Lahoud stepped down at midnight on Friday. No successor had been elected to replace him. He handed over security powers to the army.
Right.
What are the implications for Lebanon's government, Lebanon's future?
Well, the implications are that a new vacuum is being created. They're giving themselves one more week to agree on a president. And if they don't agree on a president, nobody exactly knows what's going to happen. My friend Milton Vios, who's just back from a reporting trip to Lebanon, says there's every possibility that there will once again be civil war in Lebanon.
And in the midst of all this, the Mideast Peace Conference that's scheduled to take place in Annapolis will convene on Tuesday. There's a lot of last-minute confusion and doubt over which countries would participate, but on Friday, the Arab League states agreed to participate. What can we fairly foresee?
Well, there are about 50 countries and authorities that have been selected by the Bush administration, and he's going to make a big speech to all of them and tell them to get going. The unhappy note is they tried to reach an agreement on a terms of reference for the conference. They couldn't agree on that.
Terms of reference would be even how to define certain problems.
Terms of reference, defining what they're looking for, whatever it is. They've not yet been able to come up with a single document of the sort that you would really want to have before going into a conference like this. But it really is sort of a sense that President Bush has that maybe President Clinton also had near the end of his administration, that he wants to devote some effort to it. It doesn't look terribly promising. The only thing you can say is that nobody is suffering from undue expectations.
Is there something to be gained? Because it occurs to me you have covered so many different peace conferences, summit meetings of various kinds over the years. Is there something to be said for bringing the same people into the same environment, people who maybe would only recognize each other from the news?
All you can say is at least it does no harm. It's not going to be the end of a process or the middle of a process, but the hope of Secretary Rice, who has stitched this thing together, the hope is at least it'll be the start of some kind of process. If they can all meet and talk and then set another meeting, that's the way, the slow way that these things sometimes begin.
Or perhaps meetings that won't be so widely reported, but meetings between people meeting kind of off the books.
You are right in saying that some of the greatest progress had been made in the past had been some quiet meetings by people they didn't know were meeting, like Oslo.
There was a lot of excitement and interest this week about an announcement made that there has been a new technique in the offing for harvesting stem cells. Scientists no longer have to use human embryos. They can now alter ordinary skin cells to make them behave like embryonic stem cells. What are some of the implications of this?
Well, one of the great implications is, isn't it wonderful to have some good news on one front? Here we had these great fights going on over stem cells. President Bush refused to allow federal money to be used for it. Ron Reagan appeared before Democrats and said, why not? This could help to do great and wonderful things. And now science, which usually makes problems for us, has solved a problem. They said, okay, you don't have to have embryonic stem cells. Mm-hmm. You can have stem cells you can get by scraping them off your skin in biopsies. And then you treat them in a certain way, and then you get the same kind of effect that you would get with embryonic stem cells. Well, hooray for the scientists.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.